Joe requested that we do some unkelus today on the parsha. We're in Parsha Vayera. Okay, here's what happens in the beginning of the parsha. It's really hot. Avraham was commanded by God to circumcise himself and his whole family. It's a lot of work. All the slaves and everything. And it says that he was in the opening of his tent, Kichom Ayom, at the heat of the day. Here's what it says in the second pasuk in the parsha. It says, or third pasuk in the parsha. So he sees, what does
you've
he see
lost
in the,
your fan privilege.
Guys. What, okay, so what does he see in the distance?
He sees three strangers.
Three men, it says. Anashim.
Three lads.
Three men, that's what it says.
What are we find out, you should ask them.
We find out that they are angelic in some way because they inform him of the future and also save Lot from an impending disaster. So, like, we have the feeling that they are in some way angelic, but right now we don't know that, and probably neither does Avraham. Okay.
Rambam doesn't believe in like Malachim that can be physical.
Correct. According to the Rambam, what's happening here? As a possible.
It's a dream.
It's a dream. According to the Rambam, this whole thing's a dream, which is interesting because we'll see in a second, right? Okay, fine. Anyway, he goes out, even bows down to them. Right, Vayishtachu Arza Gimel, Vayomar, and he said, meaning Abraham, Adonai. Inna matzati chen beinacha.
Al natavor me'al avdecha.
This is a very hard pasuk to translate. Presumably, he is talking to the people that he just encountered, and he says, Adonai. What does Adonai mean?
This is uncle, is that
my God?
No, this is the pasuk.
My master.
Okay.
So far.
I don't know what I'm
we are looking at Onkelos in a second. Okay. Adonai means my masters, lords. It's plural.
Awesome.
If it was my master, it would be Adoni. Okay? So Adonai says my masters. If I have found chen be'inecha in your singular eyes, right? Meaning the singular is the your part, right? Not multiple you, but not being a
fan. When you're saying to God, you're saying plural.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Sounds wrong.
Well, what about Elohim? Elohim, right? That's also a situation where.
Well, we believe in multiple gods in Judaism, so it makes sense.
So that's.
So we're not monotheistic?
Guys, focus. Okay? We're translating the pasuk. And it says, if I have found favor in your eyes, Al natavor me'al avdecha. Do not pass by your servant. And then it says that he took water and he washed their feet, etc., etc. Who is he talking to? So normally when you see the word Adonai, you usually don't say Adonai. You would say Hashem. Why? Because it's referring to God. Right? So, wait, hold on. If he's talking to God, then how would you understand this pasuk? Right? He runs, goes to these people, greets them. And then declares, God, if I have found favor in your eyes, don't leave. If that's what it means, it's very difficult. Right? Because, like, why would he suddenly be speaking to God?
Isn't it because, like...
But if he's speaking to the people there, so first of all, he uses a very strong word, Adonai, wow. But, and he never met them before. And, also, he uses it in the singular. Enecha. He uses the singular, there's three men there. So either way you look at it, it's a very difficult pasuk.
Isn't it that if
either
he
way.
Is talking to God and he's saying don't leave? Because if pasuk starts off with God appearing to him, nothing happens. So he's saying, hold on, let me deal with that.
Very good. So as Rashi has both, it's a machloket in the Gemara and Shavuot. What's going on here? One position says it's talking. He's talking to God, and we know that God appeared to Avraham. It doesn't say that he said anything. It just says Vayera Elav Hashem, that God appeared to him. We have no indication of what that appearance, whatever that would mean in terms of prophecy, but there is no indication of what went on. And then all of a sudden there are angels. Right? It could be that the angels are an indication of God's appearing to him through the angels, right? But let's not go there for a second. We'll say that God is there. And what is Avram saying then? He's saying, God, don't go anywhere. I'm just going to do some hachnasas orchim and spend a lot of time with these guys. Stick around. We'll continue our conversation after. Right? That's one possibility Rashi quotes. That's actually his second possibility. His first one, which maybe you could read into Rashi's, is more important. I don't know if order in Rashi indicates priority. But the first one in Rashi, he says, no, it's referring to the angels, or referring to the men over there. What was he saying? Why does it say it in the singular, like Inacha? Why is it saying in the singular? Because he's addressing the, you know, imagine three. There's one, two, and it's like a triangle, and the one ahead. So he's telling it to the master of
and
all of them.
That Michal was more important, so it probably was him.
What?
Michal was more important than Gabriel.
Right? Oh, right. He's learning from the Gemara, right. But anyway, whoever the top one was, he addressed him and said, hey, don't go anywhere. I want to feed you guys and stuff. So that's the machloket in the Gemara. Do you know how the Rambam paskins? Does anybody know? The Rambam paskins. It's in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. I guess you can call that Psach. But Yisodei HaTorah is usually, you know, Hashkafa. But the Rambam actually is giving in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, was it chapter... Okay, so in Vav Tet. The Rambam is actually talking about Hilchot Shemot. Shemot. Like things that you're allowed to erase God's name, or things that you don't have to worry about erasing God's name. Etc., etc. A lot of different things there. And at the end of it, he goes through certain psukim throughout the Torah and Tanakh, really, to determine if the use of the word Adonai there or other things is referring to God or is just regular and you can erase it. And so he paskins says, Kol Hashemot Ha'emurim Ba'Avram Kodesh. All of the names that are used for Avram, with regard to Avram, whenever you see God's name being used there, you can assume it's Kodesh. Af Zeh. Even the following, which is our pasuk. Shneamar Adonai imna matzati chen. Arihu Kodesh. So I probably shouldn't have said Hashem's name right there, because he's, according to the Rambam, that is determining that it is indeed Kodesh. It's holy. It is a sacred name.
Okay. What Adosh?
There's no times where it says something similar to God's name when it's referring to...
Sometimes it'll talk about the Lord's or whatever. Apparently, all the time that Lot does that. Apparently, he does it a bunch in the Parsha.
And so he's also
a resident expert. But Lot, when he's in Sodom, and you have the angels talking to him, and he says, Adosham, Adonai. There it actually is. Except for one, says the Rambam. The Rambam says there's one instance where he uses the... What?
That's the holiest, like, word.
It's not the holiest. It's one of the holy names of God. It's a stand-in for Yukivavke. That's how we use it in our... Anyway, okay. So, how does Unkelus translate? Yeah. He has to determine one way or another.
But so Rambam said that name...
Rambam Paskins, it is a holy name. It is referring to God.
Rambam also Paskins that Mahdi said it's talking about Hashem then. He says
no, he's saying only according to Rambam.
What? Okay. Only when it regarding to Avram.
No, this is when
I guess you'd have to see. I don't know. I don't know. You have to determine. You have to go through the whole, all the parsha and see how it uses the names. Okay. So what's interesting is that the Rambam seems to be signing on to the possibility that Avraham told God to wait, so that he can do Hachnas Zorchim, which has an amazing lesson of what's more important, Chesed or your relationship with God. But where, you know, like telling you can set aside, you can leave the Shechina in order to do Chesed. That's the Gemara actually learns that tremendous lesson, which is, I think, very cool. But how does Unkelus translate? So here's what it says. Maybe somebody wants to read the beginning of Gimel.
Joe,
read me the beginning of Gimel in Unkelus. This is Bet. Where's Gimel? Come here. Here. It's very simple.
Rachamim.
Starting. No. You see the gimel over there.
Oh, Ve'amar Hashem im kan ash kachit.
Okay, hold on. Ve'amar who? What does it say? Ve'amar
Hashem.
So the Aleph Dal Nun Yun there is referring to God. That's how he translates it. Here's the problem though. When you continue in this Unkelus, he says, right, im kan ash kachit rachamim kadamach. If I find favor in before you. So that fits with the idea of God. For Unkelus, he doesn't like to say, you know, your eyes. When it's, you know, if I have found favor in your eyes, God, right? He wants to say, if I found favor before you, to remove anthropomorphisms from God, like the description of God having a body. It's interesting, actually, here it has Kadamah, because we're going to see that, according to Shadal, says, actually, there's no Geirus of Kadamah. It's only... Enach, meaning your eyes, and so it doesn't actually. If it was kadamach, then the next part doesn't make sense. He says, which is laka anta abir ibar me'al avdach. It shouldn't say you shouldn't pass, but rather he, meaning the third person to God, should not pass by. And instead it says abar. Nobody has a different girsa like that. So the problem is that it's a little too familiar at the end of the pasuk. If we're trying to say kadamach before God, it shouldn't be bar to that you shouldn't pass, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Shaddah, who is Shaddah? Shmuel David Luzzatto lived in the 1800s. He was born in 1800, died 1865. Rav Kook was born in 1865. So they have a neshama connection, even though they overlapped by like 2 months. I'm just kidding. They couldn't be more different from each other. All right. In terms of their belief systems, there's some similarities, but
the great grandnephew of the Ramchal.
Yeah. So they are connected. Both lived in Italy. He was a professor in a university there, a biblical university, Shadal. And he has commentary in the Torah. He's a very fascinating individual. I think there's really cool stuff that he has to say. And his ideas are very fresh and relevant today in a lot of different ways.
What was he from?
And he wrote, what? Where, when? 1800 to 1865. He wrote a book called Ohev Ger, meaning the love of the convert, referring to Unculus. He wrote a commentary on Unculus when he was a little kid. He discovered a manuscript of Unculus, a very old manuscript, in Geniza, Italy, is where he grew up. And he discovered this manuscript and started a lifelong work on Unculus and loving Unculus. And so he wrote a commentary on Unculus called Ovker. So,
how is he different than that? Like, why is he so opposite to Rav Kook?
First of all, he's anti-mystical. He's also anti-rational.
He has a lot of very controversial things.
Anti-rational.
Yes. He was anti-Rambam. He thought the Rambam like invented a new Judaism that would incorporate Aristotelianism, and he's like, that's not what Judaism is about. I wouldn't say he's anti-rational. He's anti like the rationalist school of thought.
Oh, so he's anti-classic
Russian. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. All right, so here's what Shadal says in Oviv Ger. He says, some have the girsa, it doesn't say Hashem, it says Rabboni. What does Rabboni mean?
My creator.
My master. Right? He did this, I think, when we did Rabbono Shalom.
What about Moshe Rabbeinu?
Someone burned their
It comes from the same root. Rabbeinu means my teacher or our teacher. But the like root word of Rav means like someone who has authority over someone else.
Does it mean
else.
A lot?
Maybe there's a connection there as well. Like so anyway, he says, some have the girsa of kadamach, like we saw, and some have the girsa of be'enach, depending on, of course, if you read it as God's name or not, okay? And he says, you should know. Ki derech unkelus belashon metzia chen be'enei acherim, that when it says that someone found favor in the eyes of someone else, kasher yeh davar musav lebasar v'dam, if you're talking about a human being, yitar game be'enacha, you'll say be'enacha. Kasher yeh lashon im ha'kel yitbarach, but if it's in reference to God, he won't say be'enacha, he won't say your eyes in reference to God, he'll say kadamach, derech kavod, it's a way of giving honor to God. If you notice, there's so many different. If it's Hashem's name, if it says Rabunai, if it says Kadamach, or if it says Beinecha, these different girsas indicate that the different versions of Unculus reflect the Machlokes itself about how to interpret this pasuk. I think it's pretty cool to note that, right? He says, "Meitika Targum Kimachlokes HaChachamim VeHamerfarshinzal." Like it reflects the exact machlokas of all the different of Chazal and the Mefarshim. Im Hashem Hanisgarbo Hu Kodesh Ochol. If the Aleph Dal Nun Yun is reference to God, or it's reference to people. Vani Lo Achnis Roshi B'Machlokas Azos. I don't want to enter my head into this machlokas. I don't want to get involved. But I will notice that one girsa makes more sense than the other. What is it? The one that has it as Ta'abir. Which every girsa has, means that most likely The Onkelos understood it as chol, understood it as referring to a person, meaning the angel, or rather the person they use interacting with. Rak zotomer. All I'm going to say is this. I don't want to get into a machloka or side with a machloka, but I will note. Shemayab sha'onkelos tergim kadamach derech kodesh. That if he understood kadamach as like referring to God, lo haya omer acharzeh, you wouldn't have said, lo ka'anti abir me'al avdecha. You shouldn't pass. Like, too personal. It's too close. It's second person. Right? Shu derech kol. That's a way of talking to people. Avahu omer lo ka'an ya'abir yakarech. Right? Right, he would say he shouldn't pass, meaning impersonal, third person. Oh, yistalik yikarach me'al avadach, that your glory should be removed from upon your servant. Maybe you would say something like that. V'im tomar, v'im chashiv unkelos ki Hashem achol. Well, hold on a second. If unkelos actually does believe that it is it's not referring to God, it's referring to people. If tirgamu kodesh v'amar Hashem, why would it say Hashem in the pasuk? Why would it have different aspects indicating different things, right? Below Amar Rabbonai. Why wouldn't he say Rabbonai if it really does mean people? Ashivcha. I can answer that. I can make that. It says Yud Yud. That's how they have it in the Onkelos. But it's reference to God. It's very clear. Kisofa pasuk me'ir al tchilato. The idea is that you look at the end of the pasuk to figure out what it means at the beginning of the pasuk. V'al asofrim t'lo nosecha v'lo al Onkelos. You should blame the scribes and not unkelos. Ki hu b'derech pshat helech, he halach, he went on pshat. Kaperi shal Rashbam v'Rabbaman kolashin rishon shal Rashi. According to unkelos, it really goes like Rashbam and Mendelssohn. It's interesting to put together, right? Moses Mendelssohn and the first shita in Rashi that it's in reference to people. And you can figure out it's not really. It shouldn't say Hashem's name. It should really be referring to Rabbonai, meaning the angels. Very good. Yamar Saris Hamikra V'Darsheva, and he goes on a little bit more. And anyway, the point is that Shadal stakes the claim that Unkelos clearly, really should be understood as saying this is in reference to the angels and not to God, based on the end of the pasuk. And you can figure out which Girsa is correct. Rabbi Shaftel in Be'eri Unkelos has the exact opposite approach. He says, or it's not opposite, but his middle approach. He says it means both. Unkelos made his parish such that it could go either way. Why? Why would he do that? Because possibly Avraham meant both. He was speaking both to God and to the angels.
He's just saying, I have no clue, so I'm going to put both in here?
No. Onkelos was saying that when Avram was speaking and said, my lord, or lords, if I found favor in your eyes, please don't pass from here. He was talking not only to God, but he was looking at the angels and thinking about God and the angels.
I have a very hard time with that because that leads on the borderline of Avodah Zarah.
Why?
He's calling what?
The word Adonai can be referring to, it means my lord, my master. That can be referring to God. It could be referring to humans. According to the Ve'uri Onkelos, Rabbi Shaftel, it's referring to both. When he spoke, he had two people in mind, two beings,
but
two entities.
If I were to refer to somebody lower than God and God, I feel like it's very important to make two clear distinctions to show that God is above people or malachim. If I were to talk to Josh and I would say, let's say Josh is a rabbi somehow, and I would say rabbi, and I'm referring to you and Josh, I would probably try to make a difference between you and Josh because you're teaching me right now, and Josh just happens to be a rabbi.
I hear. But you have to admit that this has a multiplicity of meaning. That's why there's a machloket about what it means. And okay, I get that you would have preferred that you separate.
I have a very hard time with the fact that Avraham is.
Joe, I guess we should go back to Zohar then.
Okay, I understand the question. You could break it up like this. I don't think he makes the argument, but you can break it up like Vayomer, and he said Adonai, meaning referring to God. Okay, and then he switches back to referring to the people as well, and then he says Imna Matzati Chen Beinacha, Al Natavir, or whatever. So, okay, but the point is, if Rabbi Shaftel is right in Berei Unklos, he gives a couple of examples where this happens, where people are speaking to use one word to refer to two different people at the same time. But this happens in Nehemiah, for example. It says that in Nehemiah, ve'et palel el elkei shemayim ve'omer, I davened to the God of the heavens, and I said lemelech, and I said to the king. In that pasuk, you can look it up in Nehemiah bet dalet. He says it could be translated as, and he said to the king, meaning to God, the following prayer. But or it could be translated as he said this prayer to the king, meaning not to pray to him.
It's not a good example because he uses two different words.
Elokei Shemayim and Lamelech. Mm-hmm, okay,
that's
fine.
It's important to make. I think my whole point is that it's important to make a difference, to clearly differentiate between like a human or an angel, which is at a lower level than God. Yeah. And I think it's something that we very clearly push in Judaism, that like you're not supposed to put people or malachim at the same stature as God.
Well, I think that's if you are actually praying to them. But here he's just asking them to wait, not go anywhere. So I don't know if that's exactly a prayer that you're asking for anything or for an effect on the universe. Maybe it's a little different. It's not quite prayer or worship, right? But okay, fine. I hear. Let me just point out an interesting lesson here is that when we speak and say words, we don't always know that we are saying multiple things at the same time. We have a certain thing in mind. But there is, Freud, among the things that he contributed to our knowledge of our psychology and our psyche, contributed the idea of a Freudian slip. Freudian slip is where you say one thing, you mean another thing.
You mean your mother.
That was the joke I said the first day. But you say a thing, but you slipped out. It really is something subconsciously or unconsciously that you were thinking. And so a lot of times we say stuff, and the fact that we are mentioning that, the fact that we are saying that, reflects something about our psyche. Right? You look at the inkblot test, and you can say, oh, that's about a squirrel that's climbing a tree. Oh, that's, Anyway, the idea is that Avram, on a conscious level, had multiple levels in mind. That's also how we read the Torah. And the basis and a good way to bring machlokas together is to say maybe it's both. Maybe both are true. Okay.
Okay.